Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, is putting you in the center of this weekend's UFC 261 title fight with 26-1 odds on either fighter to win. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $5 into $135 if the title contender of your choice wins. That's code FANRUN in all caps to turn $5 into $135. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, want help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
We kick off hour number three with Davey, with the Depot, with the Davey Depot.
Don't let us down, bud.
Your host today and every day, the one and only Davey Hudson. Take it away.
Hello, everybody. I will try to be as upbeat as I can today to get things started with the fact of the day.
Davey?
Yeah.
Have you been busy preparing for the Depot to where you didn't send me hour two?
Yeah, I completely forgot about that.
All right.
I'll have to wait 15 minutes.
Fact of the day.
Multitasking, difficult.
Scotland has 421 words for snow. Yes. Scotland.
Can you give us a couple?
Yeah. Some examples. I believe this is sneasel, to start raining or snowing.
Sneasel?
Thiefly, to swirl. Flink drinking. It's a light snow. That sounds very Scottish. Flink drinking, a light snow.
Oh, yeah, look at that. It's a flink drinking out there.
I feel like that'd get tired quickly. Well, it's like, I mean, there's a lot of different ways. See, I guess for the English language, there are a lot of words that can mean multiple things.
Right.
For example, pitch, as we discussed earlier in the show.
A lot of possible meanings there. Mm-hmm.
And then there's words that sound the same, but you have to spell them differently.
Like hair.
Yeah. Two. It's a simple one, but T-O.
B.
T-O-O. D-W-O. Mm-hmm. Get kind of crazy, you know?
Nuts.
It's a good point. Good fact.
Today, for my gambling pick,
mm-hmm,
I'm going to go with a puck line.
Ooh.
Yeah. Vegas puck line. This should not be much of a game. I mean, I've got one model having them win by 5 goals. But Vegas taking on San Jose, the Golden Knights should walk away pretty easily with this one. And so I'm taking Vegas puck line. I expect the score, if I had to actually give a guess of what I think it'll be, I think it'll be a 5-1 game. So that's where I'm at on that one.
Mm-hmm.
4-1, 4-2, kind of iffy. I think San Jose might get a goal late, so I'm not touching the over-under on that one. But, yeah, take Vegas puck line. That's what I'm going to go with.
Got it.
After much thought, banger of the day first. Truly, Madly, Deeply by Savage Garden.
It's a good one.
It is a good one.
It's a good one.
I was actually going back and looking at like some of the best songs of the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
It's up there, man. I think Smells Like Teen Spirit was like a consensus number one.
Of the 90s?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd buy that.
I do remember VH1. I know they did like a whole thing where they did like 5-hour-long episodes and like 20 songs an hour kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just looking back on them and kind of seeing how things had worked out for the artist, the bands. But yeah, banger of the day. Truly, Madly, Deeply by Savage Garden. To get things going with, I don't have any headlines today.
Mm.
Not a whole lot, really, that I saw that I was like, oh, this is a fun topic we could definitely dive into. But I think I've waited long enough for this movie review, and I'm holding off on Ex Machina. I can definitely do that at a later time.
Oh, wait, what? But I thought that's what I've been, like, getting ready for that. Is it Machina or Machina? Just curious.
I think it's Machina.
Never heard it stated.
Okay, anybody got a coin?
No.
No. It's 2021, bro.
I'm just going to flip.
Flip your credit card.
We don't have to worry about it. So what are you going to review instead?
Well, I'm still... I guess I'll go with Division III, football's finest. Mm-hmm. Finally get into that film. Oh, well, never mind. We found a coin. Hold on. All right. Heads, Division III. Tails, Ex Machina. Heads it is. Even though I struggled with that, getting it to stay on the hand.
That was brutal.
After the flip. Was I on camera?
Oh, yeah.
What was Heads?
Heads was Division III.
Shoot.
Thank you for the coin, Alex.
Nothing like a coin flip on radio. Really liven things up around
here.
He could
have just lied. I don't know. I don't know what the coin landed on.
Price it, Tails. Well, fire away. Division III, football's finest.
Let me take a sip.
You can take the sip while I'm talking. That's why I was talking. I was buying you a little time there.
This movie came out in 2011.
Okay.
It's a low-budget film.
All right.
But it is fantastic. It's very raunchy, just to give you a heads up. It's one of those movies to where you're like, this sounds so dumb. This concept is one, like, it could possibly have been good.
You do a lot of movies like that.
Well, it's easier to kind of get into just all, I'm trying to think of the word to use, you know. Words have been a big topic for today's show.
Well, you're doing a great job.
I mean, this movie overall is a masterpiece, all right? So we got Marshall Cook. He's the star quarterback. His name's Mitch DePrima. He's also the director. Pretty sure he didn't do the screenplay, but he created the idea for the film. And he's not been in much of anything else since. But they somehow get Andy Dick to come in and be head coach Rick Weiss. Now, there's not many big-name people in it. They do have Adam Carolla at one point, and they were able to get a couple of people like you would have seen before. I think Will Sasso was a guy who'd been in some things. But most of these people, you're just like,
a guy had been in some things.
I don't recognize most of these people.
Mm-hmm.
One guy later turns out, I want to say he was in The Wire. I don't know. I know right now, though, he's in jail for murdering his wife. But I want to find his name real quick. It's Coach Roy. He's actually the AD.
Mm.
They kind of have some issues with their management over at the name of the school. They're the Pullen Bluecocks. That's the name of the mascot. What? And it's a very rare bird.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to find that guy's name.
Just don't worry about it.
Oh man, I don't know. So Alex, look that up. Find out Coach Roy's real name in Division III. All right. So we set off. Andy Dick is Coach Rick Weiss. He's a disgraced coach. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Like, literally, like, think of Tennessee's football coaches, and there's Rick Weiss. But Rick might actually be better than, like, Butch Jones and Jeremy Pruitt. Rick did have a bit of a setback. He accidentally poisoned a youth football team with HGH, and they had way too much. Things did not work out well. Surprisingly, he didn't go to jail for that. But the president of the school was like, We gotta razz-dazzle them. We gotta find something that's going to put this team over the top. And so that's where they end up hiring Rick Weiss. The team's awful. They have no reason for why they should succeed. If you just look at the talent, I don't know where they are in recruiting rankings. I'm sure it's bad. So they got that in common with us. But
that was necessary. Yeah.
But so Rick has some unconventional methods for how he is going to get these players into shape. Their nutritionist is also the offensive line coach. His name's Bob Delgert. It is ironic that the nutritionist for the team probably weighs roughly 450 pounds. It's not an ideal situation you want to be in. But
do as I say, not as I do type of thing.
Yeah. So it's just crazy when I think about it because of the similarities between this team and what we've seen with Tennessee and the dysfunction over the last several years. Sometimes you got to do that. But so
over the last several years.
Oh man, I almost found that guy's name. Sorry, it's really kind
of killing your segment.
Michael Jace. That's the guy. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm sure everyone was good. Needed that.
Had to have it. Now I'm back in.
Also, I want to say one of the guys.
What are you doing?
What?
You're not doing the review. You're just tangenting off on all these different actors.
Yeah, you just like you get back to the main.
So
like,
far, we know road. That there's a football team and a coach. Like that's all we got.
And then you turn off again, and then you get kind of sidetracked down in the swamp, and then you get unstuck. You get back out to the main road, and then it's like you go off on another side road.
So
the actor convicted of murder, by the way, is Michael Chase.
He literally just said that.
Oh, my bad.
Am I in the Twilight Zone?
How many years did he get?
Didn't hear that part.
How many years did he get?
Oh, I didn't have that pulled up. I just found it, and then it was waiting for the right time to weigh it in.
Mm. All right. Well, either way, Michael Jace, he's in prison. But so the players are like, man, we should have
40 to life.
Oof. That'd actually be a pretty good album title. I don't know. Somebody might have already come up with that one. But all right. So. Oh, yeah, the other tangent I was going on.
Yes, please, another one.
Yeah. So there was a guy that his name is Kevin in real life. His name's Alan on the show, but he is his last name is Schwartz. His dad owns a sporting goods store, Schwartz is a sports. And he was actually on American Idol. I think that was back in like the mid-2000s, and they just called him Chicken Little because he was so young and obviously – kind of looked like Chicken Little in a way. But anyway, back to the story. Okay, so Andy Dick doesn't know what he's doing. Coach Vice is sent in, and he's trying to revamp the offense. He wants to go with a quarterback that is able to, he doesn't say the spread, he really wants to run option, even though it doesn't fit the style of athletes that his team has. And so while Coach Vice is setting this up, his conditioning program is awful. He makes them like run like 30 laps at a time, basically just tries to kill them. There's times where he has them running from basically goal line to goal line, and he's chasing them on his bike, and he's got the chain equipment, and he's basically running them down with the chain equipment. I'm sure the NCAA, if they were involved, they would have some issues. I don't know if the school would cooperate, so they might get off on a lighter sentence. But, you know, it is what it is. And so his play calls, like, it's kind of like it's really similar because, like, so the one play, he wants to put Mitch Dupreme in at quarterback. Mitch, he lets him know, like, you're going to be the backup. I'm going with I think the guy's name was, like, Hernandez or something. I don't know. But the other quarterback. So he's like, all right, Mitch. Explode to the open left, switch Z short, less the laser, 58 breaker, Omaha, veer option right on one. And of course, no one understands the philosophy behind the offense. And so Mitch just decides to call an audible, throws a pass. And then, like, you have Rick Vice just physically start assaulting players because he gets mad. And there's a part where he's like, he can't remember the name of Helen Keller. He's like, are you too stupid to do what your coach tells you? It's kind of like a, what's the guy's name in Waterboy? Coach I can't think of his name. You know the answer to this, and you're just sitting there not commenting. And that's sad.
It's the Depot.
I always comment whenever you get stuck on something.
It's Red something, yeah.
Yeah.
Jerry Reed. I don't know. Sorry. This is the Depot.
Yeah. As we get into this movie, they finally get an opportunity to that. Like they're 0-4, which is not a winning equation; it's a losing equation. And again, I don't even know if this movie it might be on Amazon Prime.
Are you going to review the movie? Like, what are you doing?
Just looking up stuff.
Daniel asks if you're trying to sabotage the station. I said yes. Every day.
Well, we'd already had a bad show, so it's like, how low can I lower the
bar? I didn't think we had a bad show.
No, not at all. It's been a pretty good show for Wednesday in April. With what we had to work with.
But long story short, they end up winning the last game, and Andy Dick... I guess they're going to let him stay on as the coach, even though he doesn't really deserve to be. And I've really come to the conclusion that it's hard to do some of these movies as a review because the language is so bad and I'm having to abide by certain regulations in the moment. I would like to get into some of the quotes.
No.
But I can't.
Yeah.
Right.
And that makes it really difficult at times because the plot to this movie is very simple.
Mm-hmm. Well,
the football team sucks. They get a coach who's not good. He comes in. The team really doesn't get better. And then magically, for some reason, they start to get better. And then they win the game at the end. And that pretty much
that was Davey Hudson's
Happily Ever After
rendition of Division III football.
I would rather have read Texas A&M's Baseball Field Dimensions.
Me too.
Which Callum sent over for us, and I appreciate. He even has the type of grass. We're going to break down grass.
There was one part where Rick asked Bobby to lead the team in a non-denominational prayer. And Bob starts off by saying, "Well, I ain't much for speeching on the Lord, but I will say this. Jesus loves football." He had a whole team of disciples. They'd play against them Roman soldiers. Yeah, they did. And you know what? There's been a lot of talk about this evolution, I call it. It was the Holy Land, not Jurassic Park. I'll leave it at that.
That's...
Thank you, Bobby. Amen.
Davey Hudson.
There was more, but I called it. Caught it off a little short.
Dynamite.
Thank God.
If you're still listening,
you know how Butch always had like a slogan?
Yeah.
Coach Vice's was "Get Some." It stood for "Go every time so others may every time," but he'd always forget it. And it also doesn't make sense. He also, during his opening press conference, he staged a fight to beat some guy up.
I can think of somebody I'd like to beat up right now.
You got a live reading, Nate?
Who would that be?
I don't know. I think I did, but then you kind of just came in with whatever, and Houston was saying if you're still listening, and I feel like going after that wouldn't be great for the sponsor, so... Mm.
There's a threat of a fight.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, who said that?
Yeah, we always lose the show right after the depot. It's just gone.
No, it's tough.
Are you not entertained?
Nope.
Callum sent us the Texas A&M field dimensions.
Little field.
No, big field. Bigger than Lindsey Nelson.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not good.
He's got it 330 down the line. Lindsey Nelson 320. Center field, he's got it 400 to center straight away. Lindsey Nelson, he lists at 390. I'm a little confused by the left center, right center measurements. He puts Texas A&M's Olsen Field at Bluebell Park at 375 down the power alleys. And he lists Lindsey Nelson at 360 to left center, 350 to right center, but I guess it depends on where you measure those, because the deepest part out there in left center, Lindsey Nelson says 385, and it's painted on the wall. So, I don't know. Maybe that's an apples-to-apples type of where it is around the arc of the outfield. And he also sent us that Pavloni's home run versus Vanderbilt was 410. Mm. Russell's first home run versus Vanderbilt went 416. Second was 395. The Grand Slam says 419 to left center. Didn't feel like it was that.
I feel like it just barely made it.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But the fourth one to left field against Vandy, 421.
Yeah, that was a bomb.
Yeah.
That was a no-doubter.
Mm-hmm.
Good man.
Rucker and Ferguson, their two were right around 400 feet each, so. Big baseball series this weekend. Friday, Saturday, Sunday at Texas A&M.
It's a take care of business opportunity.
They're heating up, but it's on the road.
We got to go out there and get some.
breaking news that it's official. The Juventus chairman has said that the European Super League can no longer push forward.
Sad.
Looks like European football.
Who could have seen that coming?
Had their Shiano Sunday. Sort of.
It's funny how everyone's like celebrating the European football fans for fighting against this, and we got made fun of when we did it.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, keeping it real. When we do it, we're stupid rednecks who don't know any better, and when all these fans do it, it's good for you. Fascinating, mm-hmm. you know?
Well, it's kind of a bigger deal in terms of, like, hurting the sport as a whole rather than just a program.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. I mean, even if this is one, I mean, it was the idea of it that the, oh, how unprofessional, the Tennessee fans would not want that football coach. But when, you know, the supporters of the big clubs mm-hmm, across mm-hmm. Europe do it, it's, I guess it's different reasons, I guess, maybe.
Yeah.
That kind of leads into that one of those basketball players. I can't remember which school. It was one of the mid-major schools. I think their previous coach, let's just talk about it more in a like hypothetical, not so much in the specific situation because I don't know the details of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the part I thought I understood was your mid-major school, your coach that you've had is successful, so he gets a bigger job and he leaves. Well, the players want the top assistant to get the job.
Mm-hmm.
So they come out and tweet, we're not going to go to practice or any workouts until the top assistant is named head coach.
Mm-hmm.
So the question for you guys, just as a hypothetical, is do you like that? Is that, because it made me feel uncomfortable. I was like, if I'm the AD,
yeah, it doesn't, it doesn't. It's like, it's their program, and if they are having success and they like that coach,
it was more
I
the ultimatum
it.
Of we're not going to
right,
practice.
Right, yeah, no, I don't.
That's what made
I don't
me
like
kind of cringe.
I mean, I want them to be invested.
Right.
And have ownership and, you know, accountability, but yeah,
if I'm the AD, I'm already scheduling meetings with the players to get their thoughts on how the last season went, what they thought of the assistants, what
right,
you know,
right.
all that stuff. And I want them to say, I want them to tell me in those meetings,
we
hey,
really like this guy.
We think he could run the whole program, you know, he did this, he did that. But when they place the ultimatum publicly on Twitter, especially if they do that first and haven't even talked to me about it,
mm-hmm.
my first reaction is going to be, it's going to be harder to hire your guy now.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to make
Absolutely.
It worse. Because it seems like you've, like, handed control over. Now, the Shiana Sunday was different because the controlling parties all changed out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were all gone. It's not like somebody caved to the mob, I guess, if you want to call it that. You know, the people clamoring for change, and then that person still had to then be in the leadership position. All those people ended up gone. So that's different. But if I'm the AD, it's just like, guys, just let's...
Well, and what they put on Twitter might be different once you have a conversation with them.
I would hope so, but yeah. I don't know. It was just a weird situation, especially when you have other stuff going on with other programs, and it gets real confusing as which is which, and that's why I want to talk about that as a hypothetical, because I don't know. Maybe there's more stuff behind the scenes that I don't know about in that
right.
one particular situation. So maybe those kids have different reasons. I don't know. That's something for all those people to talk about, but... There's too much just complaining into the social media space without actually just going to the people
right,
that
yeah.
you need to work things out with and just working it
yeah.
out.
Keep it in-house.
Yeah. I think so. I mean, you can always – I mean, as somebody pointed out, like you can't have players making the coaching decision. Like there needs to be a nice balance of leadership making the decision with the best interests of the players in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Which hopefully is also gaining their input. Who knows? Like I said, maybe there's more to that story, the specifics.
Did you see that LSU is interested in hiring Mark Emmert to be their president?
LSU.
Mm-hmm. That's actually brilliant. That's actually brilliant.
It's a bold strategy. So they are in, like, NCAA... legal turmoil and they want Mark Emmert.
It's brilliant. If they think that the people within the organization that is the NCAA still like Mark, if Mark moves over there, Mark will be able to sweet talk them for 5 years down the line when they probably eventually announce the punishment, even though it'll be light since they won't cooperate. This makes sense. I like it. Make it happen.
LSU is calling Mark Emmert their dream candidate to become the next president.
Where's he from? Is he from there? Like, is there any tie at all?
He was there from 99 to 04. They hired him away from Washington. He was the president at Washington at the time.
So he would have signed off on signing Saban.
Well, think how much money this guy's made without actually doing anything. I mean, he is kind of brilliant at his job.
He makes $4 million a year.
And he really
does. And no one knows what he does.
Yeah. Maybe they got a point. I don't know.
So could this be like the saving of Will Wade if they get Mark Emmert?
I don't think that's something they're really that concerned with. I think it's more of just getting their football program back on track from a public image standpoint.
Fair enough.
He was the chancellor at LSU.
Mm. They hired him as chancellor?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm trying to find the years.
All right. We'll give you a minute to find that out. We'll come back with more. Stick with us right here. Hour three continues on 3 and Out. More hour three. 3 and Out as we head towards Tennessee's spring game. Big baseball series with Texas A&M. It's hump day. Take you through it. Don't forget, you can come hang out with guys from Outkick, the new... Not just Clay Travis, but Chad Withrow and the guys from Outkick 360 are going to be in town for Tennessee's Orange and White game noon until 3:30 at the Old City Sports Bar and Grill right there in the Old City on 106 North Central Street. So come by and hang out for a little bit, have some refreshments, get set to maybe go to the game, weather pending, hopefully it moves around a little bit. Maybe it'll come through earlier. Hang on till later. We'll see. What, Davey?
Breaking news.
Yeah? It's very good.
Mount Everest, first COVID case forces quarantine at base camp.
Oh, no.
That'd be a bummer.
It's recorded its first COVID case.
On the mountain.
Ain't no mountain high enough.
Is that the worst line he's ever uttered on the show?
No.
Jesus.
It's up there. Also, this week...
They initially thought that the patient was suffering from altitude sickness.
Thank you.
Really?
Yeah. SEC Championship in golf this weekend.
Called high-altitude pulmonary edema.
Yeah, I got it. SEC Championship in golf. Are we good? Are we good in golf?
We're ranked 21st in the country.
Okay. I'm guessing
Wednesday through Sunday.
Guessing the SEC is probably pretty good at golf, right?
I would imagine.
Yeah. Okay.
Sea Island, Georgia. The top eight teams following Friday's third round of stroke play will advance to match play, quarterfinals and semifinals on Saturday, championship Sunday. I think you can watch some of this, if I'm not mistaken, on SEC Network Plus.
There's the Bushnell Golf Week. Coaches poll.
When you're so high, the altitude actually there's less oxygen, so that will compromise your immune system, making you more susceptible to get sick.
Tennessee 19th, Houston. On this one,
going up in the world.
There's not a SEC team in the top 10.
Are we the highest ranked SEC team?
No, there's a bunch. It's Georgia's 11, then A&M, Vanderbilt, and Auburn, 12 through 14, all right together. So there's four right there, and then Florida and Tennessee are 18th and 19th.
So we got a chance.
I'd say so. I mean, it's pretty close, right? I don't know. I don't know how good these teams are.
I don't either.
But, yeah, I mean, it doesn't – I mean, if Georgia's 11th and Tennessee's 19th, I'd, you know, get hot. Let's go.
Brendan Webb doing a great job.
All right.
That's the coach, in case you were
wondering. I heard that practice facility they have is just incredible.
Oh, the one over off Cole Highway?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they did the they showed like a flyover video of it the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Three holes. Dave?
I saw that every single continent, including Antarctica, has now had a positive COVID case.
Hmm. Okay. We're talking sports here, man. Like, what
yeah,
do you,
golf. I mean, golf's outside. You can get single carts. I think it'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. They probably have to walk.
Vaccinated. Oh, yeah, they do have to walk. Yeah, we'll get behind, like, some college golfers sometimes from, like, smaller schools that are back here in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I always feel bad when it's, like, super hot and they're out there walking, you know, with their they got their team bag they're carrying or whatever.
Well, they don't have to, do they?
Well, they don't have to, but, I mean, they want to practice the way they play, mm-hmm. you know. And so they're walking. And, of course, they're going as fast as we are, no cart. Because, you know, they're
good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're really good at what they do.
Keeping it in the fairway.
We're hacking it from rough to rough, you know, across mm-hmm. everywhere. Mm-hmm.
Zigging and zagging.
Looking for it in the woods and fishing it out of
when they zig, you zag.
Out of the creek and everything. But I feel bad for them.
Yeah, it's bad. It's tough.
Apparently there's a loaded soccer slate today, so... We got that going for us.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't. I'm yeah, not going to watch either. It.
Get out on the pitch.
See, that would have been funnier if you hadn't put that stupid laugh on the end of it.
It was so funny, he couldn't contain himself.
Yeah, he couldn't. Yeah, I mean, it's nice to have a callback from the first segment in the last segment, or the next last segment. I like that.
It's called skill.
Uh-huh. I can't wait to see what he brings in the final segment.
Well, there's lots of baseball to bet on, too, sports world. We got Braves and Yankees again today, Alex, or what's the deal with that?
Sure do. It's only a two-game series.
Yeah, what time? This is game two. Yankees won yesterday 3-1.
Yep. Looking at the time right now, 6:35, first pitch.
There you go.
Ian Anderson versus Corey Kluber.
Know what you're doing tonight now.
You know,
Chris,
when he said...
Watching a little baseball.
When he said can do, it sounded to me a little bit like Kathmandu, which is where they actually airlifted that patient on Everest to.
All right. That's great. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Dave.
Yep.
Just hitting in Nepal.
The game will be on ESPN, Houston, so you're good to go. Braves, Yankees, 6:30. Or 6:35, first pitch.
I might check it out.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Ian Anderson, Corey, how do you say that, Kluber?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Good stuff.
Both teams struggling. 7-10 Braves, 6-10 Yankees. Sad. Final segment.
Love baseball.
Come back at you next.
Final segment.
Welcome back in.
Oh, today.
Three and out. Fan Run Radio.
You ran Nadoff. Thanks.
You'll have that.
Hope he's back tomorrow.
You get that on them big jobs.
What is that quote from?
What?
Yeah, just something. Did you make that up? Get that on them big jobs?
So, apparently, the origin behind that was my friend group started saying, you'll have that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in reference to just something that would happen. And then somehow, it was turned into, you get that on them big jobs. At which point I brought that to the show, and it's just kind of stuck for a couple of years now. I think I was still in law school whenever that became a thing. Yes, it was. I was still in law school whenever. So that would have been like, gosh, 2019 when I probably started saying that around here.
Because I was thinking it was like a movie quote that you always referred to.
I don't. There might be something similar, but unless my friends got it from one, but when we were doing it, it was just something random that happened. I don't know. Someone wants to track that down. If it is attributable to a source, we can cite it. Houston, I didn't leave you hanging, though. I know we kind of have a little bit of time before the end of the show. Nate's not here. Kind of already got off the rails there a little bit. But mm-hmm. I do have an article. I came across this very recently. I thought it was kind of interesting. New York Post put this out, but they need to cut the check. But Whole Foods will soon let customers pay for their groceries by scanning their palm.
Do you like that?
I mean, personally, like, I'm not signing up for it, but there's always those people that be like, oh, that's just more convenient. Basically, you just set up an account ahead of time in your palm. Whenever it reads your palm, there's a credit card already on file.
Doesn't Amazon have those checkout list grocery stores?
Yeah, so that's what it is. It's Amazon One identifies the shape and size of each hand before charging a credit card on file. Amazon's who they're doing that with. Mm-hmm. Whole Foods will soon let customers pay for groceries using its parent company's palm scanning technology. I forgot Amazon bought Whole Foods.
Mm-hmm.
But Amazon said Wednesday its palm scanning system, currently used in about a dozen of its brick-and-mortar stores, will debut at a Whole Foods in Seattle's Capitol Hill neighborhood, the first of many planned rollouts at other locations. The system uses Amazon One technology, which employs high-tech imaging and algorithms to create and detect a unique palm signature based on the ridges, lines, and veins in each person's hand.
Does that seem – don't they have an app? Like, you just go into the store, grab what you want, and the app knows what you have because they've got cameras all over the place? Do we really need palm printing?
I'm not sure of that. I think I remember hearing something along those lines. But, I mean, I guess, like, whenever you're at the register –
well, this one, there is no register. Like, the app just knows what you grab. You just go in, grab it, walk out, and it charges your card.
I'm not familiar with that one.
This almost feels like a step backwards.
I mean, I understand, like, they're trying to make it to where you eventually get to the point to where you don't have to carry anything around, is essentially the idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I mean, and like, I mean, people want to do, like, the microchip. I mean, you've seen people get, like, the QR codes, like, tattooed on them for certain purposes to where they can – which, if you mess that up, that's actually a pretty – actually, I don't know the process behind getting a QR code tattooed on you, and it's like – because, I mean, obviously, they're digitally created, but it's like if the artist would just slightly mess up one little part, it wouldn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
It'd be very difficult.
Science and whatnot. It's a little above my pay grade. But I guess from a, like, a theft standpoint, obviously they could get the credit card on file somehow from going in there. But, I mean, I guess the only way to pay with it in person, if that's what you were having to use, would just be, I guess, you'd have to cut somebody's hand off.
I knew you were going
to
go there.
Yep. You'd have to cut their hand off and then hold that up. But that'd be kind of obvious if you're walking around with just a human hand. But then also if it's using the veins, I guess at a certain point, like, maybe it wouldn't register. I don't know. You see them do that in movies with, like retinal
mm-hmm.
scans.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how long after something like that would happen, you'd have, like, the human body be able to withhold if it's, like, using the actual veins, like, if they get to a certain point. But I would think, you know, with just fingerprinting and the ridges alone, that should withhold a good amount of time to where you're able to be identified. I mean, I know it is for, like, grabbing DNA samples after the fact if, like, they were to find a body.
Yeah.
I understand I made that weird.
Yeah, but that's typical. What can you tell me about Henry Coleman III?
Not much, man. Like, I thought he was actually going to be a fairly decent contributor last year. For those wondering, Henry Coleman III was pretty much a blue-chip prospect coming out of high school in 2019. And played for Duke this past year. He averaged only about 5 minutes a game.
Mm-hmm.
And really, he didn't start playing until Jalen Johnson quit. So
he has entered the transfer portal.
Yeah. I do expect, I know people were asking about him. I see him staying in the ACC. He's originally from Virginia. I would look for him to either go to Virginia or Virginia Tech. But again, I mean, I don't know where I wouldn't necessarily see him contributing to Tennessee if that's kind of what some people were wondering.
Like, I was just reading headlines.
Like, people are asking, like, I understand he was good. It's like, and I know he'd have several more years of eligibility because he was just a freshman this year, but it's like, I'd rather rely on John Fulkerson than I would Henry Coleman.
How many Duke guys are in the transfer portal?
It's a good question. Jordan Goldwire, he's in the transfer portal, but he's a grad transfer. He's been there for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
He's not really that
significant as well.
No, he can't score, like, if that's what you want. He's just a defensive guy. Matt Hurt just said that he was going to sign with an agent. I am curious to see if he gets drafted, because if he doesn't get drafted, he's in a situation he could come back. But again, like, yeah, Duke didn't have a good year. They've restocked in recruiting again, but
they got Banchero,
number one player in the mock draft, according to that one I read earlier. Yeah.
Yep.
Olivier Saar has declared for the draft. Kentucky 7-footer.
Oh, really?
Breaks my heart. Johnny Juzang has entered the draft, but is going to maintain his eligibility until getting further notice from draft experts and teams.
Yeah, I believe they set the date for the NBA draft as far as the lottery and just the draft itself. They'd been kind of hesitant just with how everything had kind of been. It had just been very fluid from dealing with everything from COVID. They were just wanting to see how things went for once they got into the playoffs. But it looks as though those dates are set. I still, right now, a lot can change. But for those wondering about Keon Johnson, Jaden Springer, Keon, still see him as a guy getting drafted anywhere between 6 and 14 there in the lottery. But Springer, starting to see him slide a little bit in some of these mocks. So
to where?
Have they both already signed with an agent? Like, there's
0%
chance.
They stated that they were going to.
Okay.
But, again, I don't know if, like, pens actually hit paper.
Sure.
I would say, Alex, to answer that question about where I'm seeing Springer, it looks as though it's more so in the mid-20s. It's kind of where I'm seeing him. Some even into, like, I've seen him be, like, the last pick of the first round.
Yeah.
At 30. Chance he slides back to early second. But I think we talked about it recently. It's just some draft analysts are very concerned about how well his game projects due to his bully ball style, where it's like he's always just trying to get into the lane and just overpower people. Whenever he gets to that NBA level, he's probably not going to be able to do that against a lot of those defenders that would be in the paint. The thing for him, though, I'm seeing is they're expecting him to just be a point guard at the next level.
I see that. That's what he needs to focus on, if you're asking me. Alabama freshman Joshua Primo is also entering the draft, but he's going to maintain eligibility as well. Was he that good this past year?
I really don't remember much about him.
I don't either. Yeah, I think he got
off the bench.
He got hurt for a while there too, didn't he?
I think early in the season. I'll look up his stat line.
Yeah, Jones.
8 points a game, 3.4 rebounds.
Was the star.
One assist.
Reese, Petty. I'm forgetting one of their main guards. They'll be back.
I feel like he wasn't bad, but
I don't know. He put 30 games this season, so maybe banged up for a few.
Yeah.
Who? Okay, weighs out. Who wins the SEC for this coming college basketball season, regular season?
I mean, on paper, I'd say Tennessee's, like, in that mix. I mean, I guess, like, is Auburn going to be really, really good with Walker Kessler? Like, they've got a shot. I don't know what Will Wade's going
to
be bringing
back. I think
back.
I am curious to see how Auburn rebounds because they're going to have the talent, but it's one of those things, too, to where they can actually – they're eligible for postseason play, and so that's going to – impact, I think, how they play a little bit more. I mean, because like last year, it's just like, you know, it's like, ah, well, I mean, like, we're not really playing anything. It's like, yeah, just go out there, have fun, whatever. But
I'd throw Arkansas on that short list also.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Musselman got that contract extension. They've done a good job as far as, oh, Desi Sills. I saw the Arkansas, he's in the portal, one of their players.
Well, is he good?
I thought so.
I know Cam Thomas announced he was going to the draft.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Auburn's guard?
No, LSU.
No, LSU.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Who's the kid I'm thinking of from Auburn? Sharif Cooper?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is he in the draft?
Yeah.
Okay, thought so. There's a lot of talent in this league. Things are coming up.
I will say Sankey's done a really good job as far as getting the SEC basketball play at a lot higher level than it was beforehand.
I mean, he said it. I think the minute he was hired, like, that was one. I mean, obviously, his number one goal is to keep football healthy. He's done that, but he made a very
that wasn't really a project at the time. You
no,
know?
No, no, yeah. I mean, that was basically, hey, Sankey, just don't screw this up. But in basketball, he basically told all these teams and schools, like, we're going to take this seriously, spend money on it. And I mean, the coaching, I mean, I guess obviously like Musselman's really good, Oates is really good, but I mean Ben Howland at Mississippi State. I mean, they went out and the SEC's hired a lot of really good coaches, and it's made a big difference in the league. We went from like a 3 or 4 NCAA tournament team league to what we had this last year, 7, 6 or 7. I think we had 8 a couple years ago. I enjoy it. Basketball matters. Davey, good job on this last segment. You didn't go too crazy, except for the hand thing.
After I ran Nate out, I kind
of
had
except for the cutting off of the hand thing.
That's just a thing that happens, though.
A lot of hands being cut off.
You get that on them big jobs.
Keep it locked in. Fan Run Radio. The Blitz is next. We'll do it again tomorrow. For Davey Hudson, Alex Comas, and Nate Hodges, I'm Houston Kress. Have a good day.